Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome to High Energy Health.
You are muted.
I am so delighted you're here, and it is just wonderful to have the privilege of being exposed to all this magnificent new information we have about wellness, about meditation, about everything we can do for self-care in our lives. And on this show, we have weekly, we have all kinds of inspiring people, and I also encourage you to listen with a notebook, a journal, or pen and paper in hand. You're even allowed to use your tablet if you want to. I won't discourage you if all you have is an electronic device to make notes on, because you want to make sure that you're recording your insights from High Energy Health, and then you are taking action on those. Also, I have a really annoying habit, which you probably know by now, of interrupting the program and interrupting our guests. If there's a point I want to make and make sure you write down and take action on, I will stop the guest and turn it into a little exercise you can do to apply that to your life. So, among my many annoying habits, if you ever meet my wife, she'll tell you about a whole bunch of others I have. But I want to encourage you to turn the insights you get here into an action plan. It is wonderful to have so many new insights coming out of the current crop of clinical trials into how we can make a radical shift in our health and wellness, and you'll find many of those ideas here on High Energy Health. One other thing besides making those notes for yourself, I want to ask you to bookmark the page, and I want to ask you to go into our archives, and I want you to share the information that's going to help people in your world. If you have a friend who's suffering from depression, if you have a colleague with an autoimmune disease, if you have a family member with anxiety, you're going to find all kinds of resources in the hundreds of shows in our archives. I want you to go in there and share it with other people. Share the wealth, share the information. You have no idea when your compassionate act of sharing that link isn't going to make a difference in someone else's life. So please go ahead and share the information on High Energy Health with other people and make it part of your week, part of your life. I'm so grateful and glad you're here. You're going to love connecting with my guest today. Her name is Dr. Heather Sanderson. She is a renowned naturopathic doctor. She specializes in neurocognitive medicine. She is the founder of Solcere Health Clinic in San Diego, and also Marama, the first residential memory care facility to have the goal of returning people who have cognitive challenges to independent living. She's also the author of the best-selling book, Reversing Alzheimer's, and she also hosts the annual Alzheimer's Summit. Heather, what a joy to have you here.
Dawson, always a pleasure to connect with you.
You know, as I was reading your book, I was so awed by your multidisciplinary approach and all of the angles you take in helping these patients. But before we get into that, let's go back to your beginnings and how you first became interested in this whole really important field of medicine. I just read the other day that 56% of Americans either have a relative or a friend or someone they know with Alzheimer's, and that's more than half. I mean, I was surprised it was that big a number, and so this is an issue that affects us all. How did you first get into being interested in this and seeking to make a difference in the lives of these patients?
You know, I've always wanted to focus on health. Right? My credentials are a naturopathic doctor. I didn't go to medical school, although I considered it a lot for a long time. And the reason I chose naturopathic school is because what I'm really curious about is optimizing health as we age. Throughout life, through every phase of life, I want people to be amplifying the joy and the connection and the ability to engage fully in exercise and their pursuits and creative activities. And so I've always been oriented towards health and wellness. Now, that being said, in my clinical training at Bastyr, we heard over and over again the refrain that there was nothing you could do to support someone with dementia or Alzheimer's, that to suggest otherwise was actually to be harmful, to offer false hopelessness, or excuse me, false hope, when what I've seen now, you know, a decade and a half later, is that to suggest there's nothing you can do for dementia or Alzheimer's is to give people false hopelessness. And so the path to really shifting my understanding of this, and, you know, Dustin, I feel like I can share this with you because you make me feel so safe, I can get vulnerable, but I have constant inquiry around this. Are we really helping people? You know, it wasn't supposed to be possible. And the first patient that I saw, I was in complete disbelief. I thought that we had measured it wrong. And her husband had to be like, no, she's different. But my brain, like, did not compute. And even still, someone will say to me, like, are you sure you're reversing Alzheimer's? Maybe they just had misdiagnoses. And then another patient will come in and get better. And I'm like, yes, I'm sure. I'm seeing it over and over and over again. And someone with APOE 3-4 or 4-4 status will improve, somebody who's at very high risk of dementia. So how did I get here? I saw Dr. Dale Bredesen, who's now my mentor. I saw him at a conference give a very compelling talk, basically telling me that I was wrong, that there was something we could do to serve those suffering with Alzheimer's. And the way he presented it made sense, particularly because of my naturopathic upbringing in the medical world. I was oriented towards health, and this idea that you could stack interventions on top of each other, right? Meditation. You mentioned this multimodal, multifaceted approach. And what happens is when we stack the meditation on top of the good sleep, on top of the exercise, on top of the diet, we get better cellular function in the neurons, right? The cells of our brains operate better. And that's kind of common sense. It's just uncommon practice. And I think where we got tripped up was we focused so much on beta amyloid, right? In the pharmaceutical world, when we can find one molecule intervention, single molecule interventions, we can patent them. It makes sense to invest the money into the research and going through the phase trials and randomized controlled trials. And then we get the payout at the end, right? The company gets paid because they create this pharmaceutical. So it makes sense to do that. But when we focus, when we try to distill Alzheimer's into one cause or one mechanism, we miss the forest for the trees, right? We end up focusing on something because it needs to be simple to fit our model. We miss the complexity of the disease process. And what we need is a therapeutic approach that matches that complexity. It needs to be enough. We need to hit enough of those causal level factors that we end up with improvement.
So let's unpack that, and I want to explain to people first what the MoCA test is that you administer to patients before, during, and after, and so that when we're sharing case histories today, and you're giving people MoCA scores before and after, and know what they mean. What is the MoCA, and what is the range of scores, and what is the indicator of clinical dementia?
Yeah, so the MoCA stands for the Montreal Cognitive Assessment. This is a PDF. You can look it up online. It's very easy to find. You can even be trained to administer it to people. And it's a score out of 30. So a perfect score is 30. 26 and above is normal. And then once you start going in the direction of zero, you are getting further and further down the path towards severe Alzheimer's, severe dementia. And so we've seen patients all along this spectrum, people who are just starting to notice cognitive decline and even get still score a 30. It's not the most sensitive test in those earliest stages. There are other tests that are better for that. But then as things progress, it's an easy way for providers to communicate with each other, for us to kind of have a measuring stick for where are we compared to 3 months ago or 6 months ago, and are we getting better or are things declining?
Yeah, that's worth knowing. And then you also mentioned the apo gene, and so it comes in four flavors, and the ones with the biggest risk factors are apigene 3 and apigene 4. So if you got an apigene 4 from one parent and an apigene 4 from another, then you have an apigene 4-4 combination. If you got 3 from one, 4 from the other parent, you have an apigene 3-4 combination. And both of those variants are associated with much higher risk for Alzheimer's. So I know it was one of the very first gene tests I got myself, and I have a history of Alzheimer's in my family, and so I made sure I went and got that test. Some people prefer to get it. Others would rather not know. I was in the category of I'd like to know. And so I mentioned that here because it's something that early on was regarded as being like, oh, well, if you have a 4-4, you have a 95% chance of getting Alzheimer's. If you have a 3-4, you have a 75% chance. And there was this genetic determinism around it, which we're now discovering in research is completely not the case at all. So I just wanted to get those two things out of the way. The gene for Alzheimer's, one of the genes is complicit in Alzheimer's, and also that MoCA score. So you have this multimodal approach, and in the book you describe all the different elements of that you address. Let's just have a quick run-through of what those elements are you look for and you work within people's lives to help. And again, we're going to, Heather and I, just say reverse cognitive decline, reverse Alzheimer's over and over and over again. We don't care that if you go on the Cleveland Clinic website, it says this is an irreversible neurodegenerative disease. It is not, and there is heaps of evidence now showing that's not true. So we're going to keep on hammering that point till you get it.
Yeah, so the APOE, I think you bring up a really great point, right? So we have categories of risk factors. We have the ones that we can control, modifiable risk factors, and the ones we can't control. So we can't control our APOE status. And as you mentioned, if you have one copy or two copies of APOE4, you're at increased risk of developing dementia in your lifetime. You can't change that. You can't change the year you were born. You can't change whether you were born male or female. And females are at much higher risk than males. Every three dementia patients or Alzheimer's patients, two of them are women. So we want to focus not on that, although it can be empowering. If we know we have higher risk, we can start making these changes sooner in our lives. If we know that we have risk in our 20s, then we can make sure we're not sleep deprived, that we get plenty of nutrients, and that we maintain our exercise habits, and that we moderate our stressors, that we start our meditation routine earlier so that we can optimize cognitive function and prevent developing dementia. Be in the 75% of patients with APOE3/4 who don't get dementia, right? Be in the 50% of people who are 4/4 who don't get dementia. And so we take these risk factors, the modifiable ones, and this can start to feel overwhelming. So everybody can take a deep breath as we go through this and know that you do not have to do everything. What we want to do is give you a menu of options, right? I want to take you systematically through the different components of brain health and these modifiable risk factors so that you can start thinking. As we're going through these, I want you, as you're listening, to think, would that be easy for me to do? Is that a quick, easy step I can start to make today? Or is that something I know I need to do? Like, I've been sedentary for a long time. I know I need to start my exercise routine. My hope is that by the end of this podcast, you make the move. You make the call. You book the trainer. You join the gym. You do what it takes to put this information into action. Because as you mentioned, all of this information is great and all. I'm happy if you have it. But it's meaningless. It does not have value until you put it to work. That's when we're going to see the results. So we can go into the six components of brain health. Should we go there next?
Let's go there next. And again, make sure you're doing what Heather recommends. You have that pen and paper close by, and you're making this list, and then you're seeing what it is you can do. Now, she's emphasizing here, we're not going to try and load you with stuff that's impossible or doesn't fit your lifestyle. We're just asking you to say, I can do that. That's just a small little change I can make my lifestyle that might make a bit of difference. So keep your list and then think which of those modifiable risk factors you can commit to. Heather, go for it.
Okay. So number one is toxicity. I'm going to name them all six of them real quick, and then we're going to go back and dive into each. So number one is toxicity. And when we think through all of these six modifiable risk factors or these six components of brain health, we're thinking about balance, homeodynamic balance. So these aren't going to stay the same every day, all day. They're going to fluctuate. They're going to go up and down. But generally, we want balance, the right amount at the right time in the right place. So toxins, right? We want that getting out of our body. Nutrients, stressors, structure, signaling, and infections. Okay, so starting with toxicity, there are three types of toxins that we look for in patients who we see in a clinical practice. And then we also want to be mindful in our environment, right, at home. We want to be looking for chemical toxic exposure. These are things like plastics, petrochemicals, fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, things that are in nail polish and hair dyes and personal care products. We want to, and cleaning products especially, we want to minimize our exposure to that. A lot of these can be directly neurotoxic. And it's something, again, we have a choice around often. We have a choice around the type of cleaning products we buy or the type of dye we use for our hair or how often we get our nails done. We have choices around some of these things. If we live in close proximity to the freeway, we might not have a choice about moving. That might actually be a really heavy lift, but we can potentially get an air filter for the house. We can reduce our exposure to inhaled toxins. Another one we want to think about is mold toxicity. This is biotoxins that come from living or working in water-damaged buildings. And I have seen many patients who have experienced an outsized exposure to that, and it has affected their cognitive function and, of course, triggers inflammation in the brain as well as throughout the body. So we want to look for these things and then reduce them. The third type of toxin is heavy metals. Mercury, lead, arsenic, cadmium, when these accumulate, particularly mercury, they're extremely neurotoxic. We know that even just 1 or 2 points of lead in the blood can lead to a reduction in our IQ, as well as an increased risk of cardiovascular disease. So we want to be mindful of this, we want to be looking for it, and we want to address it if it's there.
Okay, great. So that is a good start to begin with looking at toxicity. Nutrients.
So nutrients, again, we're thinking about too much. We're also thinking about too little. So if we have too much, this often we're talking about sugar, blood sugar. Having elevated blood sugar can, you might have heard of Alzheimer's called type 3 diabetes. It's because too much sugar in the blood can lead directly to damage of the neurons, right? So we can cause a neurodegenerative process just because we have too much sugar circulating in the blood. Now, additionally, the brain uses 20% of energy expenditure each day, even though it only takes up 2% of body weight. This is a hugely energy-intensive machine that we're carrying around on our shoulders, and it needs to be fed fuel. And when we feed it sugar year after year after year, we can become insulin resistant, even if we don't have diabetes. As we age, we all become less sensitive to both glucose and insulin. And so we have this really divine design. It's so incredible to me that the body is like a hybrid engine. We can go back and forth from burning glucose for fuel to burning ketones for fuel. And the brain actually prefers ketones. Given the opportunity, it would prefer to burn ketones, and it burns much cleaner, so we don't create as much oxidative stress. It's an anti-inflammatory fuel as well as it's a detoxifying process when we're in ketosis. And so there's a lot of other mechanisms that are proposed, but what we see is that many people have more focus, more clarity, be able to come up with words, and they'll have things like incontinence resolved, they'll feel like their joint pain goes away, they sleep better at night. So using that ability to burn ketones as a way to bring down blood sugar and get our brain more resource, more fuel, is, I think, a great, a very worthy endeavor for anyone struggling with cognitive decline.
So before we go to the third one, let's just have people take a moment and write those down. So what could you do to reduce your sugar consumption? Right now, maybe you're 30 years old and saying, it's old people that have to worry about cognitive decline and dementia, not me. Well, according to Dr. Daniel Amen and the SPECT scans he did, adverse changes show up in the brain 30 years before any cognitive decline symptoms or dementia symptoms. So those adverse changes are showing up in the brain 3 decades. That's for you 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, and you're drinking your your iced latte with a big scoop of additional sugar and cream on top and all these other things. So all of these things can be damaging your body, damaging your brain decades before there are any symptoms. So these pieces of advice aren't just for people who, they aren't for your grandparents, they're for you as well. And so just think for a moment, what can you do, what could you do that isn't a burden? We're not saying, give up ice cream. I know my wife would tune out right away if I told her that. But what you might think about doing is producing and manageable amounts and substitutes and all kinds of other ways you can do that. And we're going to go to a break in a moment, but during the break and now, make a note of what you can do in your own life, just this really super simple thing to do at any age, what you can do to dial down the amount of sugar you're dumping into your body and forcing all of those, that biological cleanup process into high gear with what can you do? What small things can you do to improve that? And also focus for a moment on Heather's earlier advice about toxicity. What is there in your environment that might not be good for you? And we'll look more at these risk factors after a break. You're listening to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. I'm so thrilled that you're here. And her book is called Reversing Alzheimer's. Highly recommended, well-organized, all kinds of practical tips, both for caregivers and for people who are concerned about their symptoms. We'll be right back after a break.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud, shaping the future. This all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
Helping other people heal is deeply satisfying. Watching a child's pain disappear before your eyes, a loved one calming down after a panic attack, or a veteran recovering from PTSD is a wonderful feeling. Imagine yourself with the skills and confidence to help people every single day and a rewarding career in energy healing. Taught by expert faculty, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies. So get certified as an energy psychology professional today at www.newhealer.com. Your first course is free at www.newhealer.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Imagine your love life, your health, your money, your career, your spiritual path. If you had the ability to turn your dreams into reality, the people who have discovered how to do this are master manifestors. Now you can learn their secrets at mastermanifestor.com. They'll give you a 21-day crash course in intuition, synchronicity, and manifestation. In just 7 minutes each day, the experts at mastermanifestor.com will train your brain to be like theirs. mastermanifestor.com. Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health. Isn't this exciting? This big bogeyman we've all been so afraid of, cognitive decline. We've all seen it happen to people, and we know how debilitating it is for them. And the
truth
for
their families.
One recent study found that unpaid care given to Alzheimer's patients by their family members amounts to tens of billions of dollars a year and is a huge psychological drag on those people. So you want to know about this, whether you're a caregiver or a potential caregiver, whether you're young, whether you're old, you want to make sure that you realize this is highly relevant to your well-being. And again, Heather's new book is called Reversing Alzheimer's, is packed with research. She also has personally done a clinical trial showing that this works. And again, we're going to use the word reversing Alzheimer's because there's now a lot of medical evidence showing that it's possible. Earlier, we covered the first two of the six risk factors. We talked about nutrients. We talked about toxins. Now, let's talk about stress.
Before we go there, I want to finish up the nutrient conversation because there's another side to that, right? We can have too much, but we can also have too little. And so if we don't have enough, we don't have enough good fats, we won't be able to make ketones for our brain. So we can add coconut oil to our diet. Even a couple tablespoons of coconut oil a couple times a day can help to improve cognitive function for some people. But we want to look at our micronutrients as well. So we've talked a little bit about fat and sugar, carbohydrates, and we haven't even touched on protein. But for the sake of time, I want to jump to micronutrients, right? These are the vitamins and minerals that are in our brain that support the production of neurotransmitters, the metabolism of neurotransmitters. These are, of course, they're good for our bones, they're good for our heart, they're good for our metabolism all over our body. They're necessary for mitochondrial function. But when it comes to our brain, we really need to have enough. Again, we don't want too much and we don't want too little. We don't want to create too much of a good thing. But if we don't have enough, say, B vitamins, methylated B vitamins, something called homocysteine can go up. And this is directly associated with brain atrophy or how our brain can shrink as we age. So just knowing one number, our homocysteine level, can tell us if we need more B vitamins than someone else. And this will be different between people who are not genetically related. Again, this is a genetic component. We might need more B vitamins than our spouse or our neighbor who we're not genetically related to. So it's not about just getting the RDA. It's about really optimizing that nutrient level. Okay, now stress.
Okay, not stress, yeah. So focus on those micronutrients as well as the macronutrients. And you, of course, are doing kirtan kriya meditation with your patients, and you're also recommending other forms of stress reduction. What do you recommend they do? And then I love Kurt and Kriya because once they showed that 8 minutes a day, all of us can do 8 minutes a day of Kurt and Kriya was effective at reducing a wide range of symptoms. So it's super easy to learn, but there's a lot more to stress reduction than that. So go ahead and share with us what you have your patients do.
Of course. So when it comes to stress, again, balance. We don't want too much and we don't want too little. You mentioned caregiver burden. When we serve as caregivers, people who have served as caregivers are anywhere from 2.5 to 6 times more likely to be diagnosed with dementia later on in their lives compared to those who have never served as a caregiver. So this is a really high increase in risk, and so we want to make sure that the burden of caregiving is reduced. And how do we do that? We get our meditation in. If you're not interested in meditation, then a prayer practice and different type of mindfulness practice. Exercise helps us to modulate stress. Getting plenty of good sleep. Sleep deprivation is associated with higher rates of dementia, so we want to make sure we're getting good, high-quality sleep. Social isolation, which can lead to depression, can also be related to Alzheimer's and dementia. And as we lose our hearing, as we lose our vision, it's harder to keep track of where we are in time and space because of our hearing, because our senses are leaving us, it can be easy to isolate. It can be easy to not show up because we can't hear or we can't read. And so we have to make a little extra effort as we age, but staying socially engaged is crucially important. I know your listeners know a ton about meditation, and so you're the expert, and you can, I know, talk with much more authority than I can. But I do want to touch on one other component of stress. So, right, there's the too little side. If we don't have the purpose and meaning to get up and out of the day or to do the hard things, like do those PT exercises that we need to heal from that recent surgery or that recent fall, if we don't have the motivation, if we don't have a why for living, if we're not looking forward to anything, then it's going to be hard to stick around, and it's going to be easy to slip into that decline, right? We don't have the motivation to eat well and take care of ourselves if we don't have things to look forward to, if we don't have that why. And so purpose and meaning, this concept of ikigai from Japan, that there's a reason for living, that there's joy in our lives, that we can, I think of channeling my inner Betty White, right? That there's this idea that, like, life is just going to get better and better as I get older. And certainly that's been my experience, but I think think as a society, we value youth and we tend to discount age. And having this kind of flipping that narrative towards imagining the value that comes from wisdom and experience and how much fun we can have as we get to know each other and have the depth of relationship. And looking forward to that, I think, is just so crucially important.
Yeah, it makes all the difference in the world. Yeah. Let's move on to the next one, and I want to get to one or two more of them in this segment, which is structure.
So structure comes in a couple of different ways. Again, micro and macro. We talked about the microstructure, the molecular structure that is our genetic information in the nucleus of our cells. So we're not going to go back to that. We're going to talk more about macrostructure. And this we can think of in a couple of ways. But one way that I want everyone here to have a takeaway from is if you have any cognitive decline, I want you tested for sleep apnea. So if the structure of our airway is blocked at night, it will prevent enough air from getting to our lungs and enough oxygen from getting to our brain. So if we have any inkling that we have sleep apnea at any point in our life, regardless of our cognitive capacity, get a sleep study done. They're a pain in the butt. It's a total chore, but it is so important to brain function throughout our lives that we get good quality sleep and it's not interrupted by sleep apnea. We want to aim for about 7 hours of sleep, 90 minutes of REM, 60 minutes of deep sleep, and that is at minimum for good, healthy cognitive function. So making sure we don't have sleep apnea, that our airway isn't obstructed, is one big important point in structure. Two, plumbing, the plumbing of our arteries. Can we get blood flow to our brains, or is our head stuck way in front and so we're not getting good blood flow through our neck? Are we able to drain the venous system so that we can get toxins out? Are we able to, or do we have, is our hip bone connected to our leg bone so that we're not in chronic pain that sends a toxic amount of cortisol to the brain? What is going on physically for you? How are you lined up? Is it in an efficient way so that you can move and you can get exercise? Or are you bogged down by issues structurally that are going to keep you and prevent you from getting the exercise you need to get that blood flow that's so important? So those are a couple different ways to think about structure. Now, there are some others, but we'll leave it there for now because I know we're excited to get onto all of the components of brain health.
Let's see if we can pack one more in before the break, which is signaling.
All right, so with signaling, what we're thinking about is the way that my mentor, Dr. Bredesen, talks about it is think of your brain like my brain, Astana, a country. And if your country is at war, if you are getting the signals of inflammation, of fighting infections, of defending against toxicity, then you're not getting the signals to grow and regenerate and to build. And so what we want to do is make sure that our body has the resources to get that signaling, that we have enough brain-derived neurotrophic factor coming from our muscles, that we have enough estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, pregnenolone, thyroid hormone, vitamin D is a hormone. All of these hormones, they're peptides, there are and bigger hormones that go to our brain and signal how we should be oriented towards growth and regeneration and a healthy brain or towards defend, attack, and inflame.
Powerful. And again, these practices that Heather recommends can shift that function in your body. And then, again, be sending very different signals to your brain. Her book, again, is called Reversing Alzheimer's. Highly recommended, really easy to comprehend, and full of science-based information for both caregivers and for people who are either worried about cognitive decline or in the midst of it. Also, when we get back, I want to share a couple of case histories with you of just what happens to those MoCA scores and to other life domains when you apply the kinds of principles that Heather is sharing with you today. So we'll cover some case histories as well that show you that when you apply this stuff, it can produce a dramatic impact on your life and the lives of those around you. You're listening to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. I'm so thrilled you're here. Make sure you bookmark this page. Come back every week. We will see you after a brief break.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use the superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
Imagine having a certified wellness professional at your service 24/7. Whenever you're stressed, anxious, angry, sleepless, or depressed, you get help the moment you need it. You can talk to a compassionate practitioner anytime you want at MyStressSolution.com. In the Stress Solution app, trained experts are standing by when you need them most. Experience a free introductory session at MyStressSolution.com. You never have to face your problems alone. Get instant help at MyStressSolution.com.
You have too little time to shop, so try Farm Fresh to You. They deliver organic food the way nature intended, delivered straight to your home or office, economically. Visit our web advertiser page and click on Farm Fresh to You now.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use the superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hello and welcome back to High
you are
Energy
muted.
Health. I'm your High Energy host, Dawson Church. I'm loving being here, sharing with you. Make High Energy Health part of every week. Make sure you fill your mind with positive messages, positive media. Share this podcast with other people, especially those who are suffering. If you have a friend who's worried about dementia or other forms of cognitive decline, go ahead and send them a link to the show. Just let them know that these resources are possible. You have no idea when that act of generosity on your part is going to make a huge difference to somebody else. So please share the show with plenty of other people, bookmark it yourself, and make it part of your uplifting mental hygiene every week. Heather's book, again, is called Reversing Alzheimer's. It's a gold mine, and it makes a ton of information that would take you otherwise take you a lot of time and energy to compile, puts it all in your hand in a really brief and accessible format with to-dos, with action items you can take both yourself and for those around you. So let's cover the last of these six risk factors and then move on to sharing some of the case histories in the book and just how much they can affect people's lives if they apply them.
So the last one that we wanted to chat about is infection. So many people don't realize that having good healthy gums plays a role, a significant role in your heart health and your brain health. When we have gingivitis or the bacteria associated, or P. gingivalis is the bacteria associated with gingivitis, and when we have that in our mouth, it can get into our bloodstream, and it's been found in the amyloid plaques of those who have died with Alzheimer's. As have the herpes viruses. So herpes simplex 1, the one that causes cold sores, is another type of microbe that we want to be aware of that can basically pull that trigger that causes the cascade that leads to that amyloid plaque accumulation that's associated with Alzheimer's. So we want to make sure that if we have a high infectious burden generally in the body, we're aware of these connections directly to Alzheimer's, and especially if that's that genetic predisposition, that we're taking really good care of our oral health and hygiene and our oral microbiome. We're getting our teeth cleaned several times a year. We're brushing at least twice a day. or flossing at least once a day, and maybe even thinking about coconut oil pulling or about water picks or other things if we struggle with decay or gingivitis. So that's a big one. And then if you have herpes simplex 1, if you tend to get outbreaks of cold sores, the data suggests that aggressively treating that either with lysine and some of our preventive herbs, or if the right thing for you to do is to take some acyclovir or valacyclovir, one of the medications, to stay ahead of that or use at the first sign of prodrome, that is well worth doing to protect your brain from the inflammation associated. Now, a couple other infections that are associated with cognitive decline and dementia are COVID, and many people can relate to that, this brain fog after having COVID, and then it does lead to some vascular inflammation that can basically trigger more of the inflammatory cascade associated with Alzheimer's. And then the other one is the Lyme spirochete. So we know that there's syphilis is a spirochete that has a neurological form and can go into the brain. Lyme is very similar. It's the spirochete bacteria that can get into the brain, and it's been found in the amyloid deposits. So we want to make sure that we're looking for those infections and we're treating them aggressively, particularly if we have a risk for developing dementia.
And so the simplest of these, and Heather stresses this in the book, is gum health. Just do what she's recommending, brush and floss. And I can tell you personally, I told my dentist 20 years ago, I said, I want to keep my teeth plumb 100. And he gave me a routine, and I do it. And it's not that long. It's about 5 minutes a day. It's not just brushing and flossing. It's also a non-toxic rinse. It's a water pick. It is a sonic toothbrush. And the whole thing takes 4 or 5 minutes, just negligible amount of time. But then, again, you'll see your dentist in 10, 20 years, and they'll say, you're gums and your teeth are in great shape. So the payoff of that 5 minutes a day is so powerful. And now we're learning, who knew?
You mentioned the mouthwash. You want to avoid like Listerine and the alcohol-based mouthwashes. They actually sterilize your mouth and they kill the good bacteria that you need to help with cardiovascular health that make nitric oxide so that we can expand our blood vessels. And so do not use those alcohol-based mouthwashes. If you're going to use a mouthwash, make sure that it does not sterilize your mouth, that it allows the healthy microbiome to survive.
Yes, very important point, because a study of people who mostly found that those who use mouthwash twice a day had a much higher risk of both diabetes and dementia over time. So make sure you're using one of those mouthwashes. So now let's share some of these amazing case histories that you have in the book.
Yeah, so Darlene was the first patient who really, the book is dedicated to her because she showed me what was possible. And my patients have done this over and over and over again. I told you, I started this as a skeptic. And Darlene was one of the first patients who came in with her husband, completely dependent on him. She had a MoCA score of 2, right? So very close to 0. Again, 26 and above is normal. Perfect score is 30. And she had a MoCA score of just 2. Completely dependent on her husband. She could still dress herself, but she couldn't get past yes or no as answers. I could see her listen to the questions and maybe even understand the questions, but by the time she formulated an answer, the question was gone. She forgot what she was answering. Her handwriting was affected, and of course her relationship with her husband was affected. Her life was severely impacted by this disease process because she had severe Alzheimer's. And I don't know how much she knew was going on, but her husband had read Dr. Bredesen's book, The End of Alzheimer's. This was right at the end of 2017, early 2018. And he had, thank goodness, enough confidence for both him and I and for her. And so he took everything and he ran with it. I kind of went through the motions, not thinking I would ever really see them again. And they came back just 6 weeks later and her MoCA score was a 7. And I was totally in disbelief. I did not think this was possible. I thought I had done something wrong. I thought I had measured it wrong. I just didn't get it. And he was like, no, she is different. Listen to her. Look at her. She's speaking in complete sentences. She is different. Our life is better. And so what had they done? They'd gone to the dentist. They'd gotten all of her metal amalgams out and replaced. They had gotten some root canals cleaned up, and her dental health was in way better shape. she went on a ketogenic diet. They started ballroom dancing 3 times a week, and on the other days they were going for long walks. They moved out of their moldy bedroom, and they actually just moved into their living room downstairs and stayed out of the upstairs area that they knew had been water damaged. She got on all of the supplements. She got on bioidentical hormone replacement. And they transformed their lives. They were all in. They dove in fully. They were not dipping a toe into the water here. They were fully committed, and they got the results. And it shocked me. But it also changed my life, because when I saw what was possible for Darlene, there was no way that I could sit there and see this and not think, what about everybody else? What about all these people and all the suffering that's happening? Is some of it unnecessary? And what do we need to do to change the paradigm around this? And I think if it had just been Darlene, if she was the only one who I'd seen get better, I probably would have stopped there. But I kept seeing it happen over and over and over again, that people were getting noticeably better. And it's just such a privilege to be on the ride with these families and to hear, like, I have my mom back, or my mom bought Christmas presents for the grandkids this year, and they were age-appropriate and totally awesome, and she hasn't done that for several years. Those kinds of stories. My mom was able to travel with us to New York to see a play, and she couldn't have done that or been excited about it a year ago. Those are the things that just, like, make me get out of bed every day. It's so exciting for families to get those memories, to get that connection again.
And you wouldn't be one of those people who has that brain health and brain wellness as you age, and you want to be one of those people who is able to enjoy your life as you move into your final decades. And this makes a vast difference, because tiny things you are doing now, and Heather's book is full of them. The book is Reversing Alzheimer's. We'll be right back after a break.
Imagine having a certified wellness professional at your service 24/7. Whenever you're stressed, anxious, angry, sleepless, or depressed, you get help the moment you need it. You can talk to a compassionate practitioner anytime you want at MyStressSolution.com. In the Stress Solution app, trained experts are standing by when you need them most. Experience a free introductory session at MyStressSolution.com. You never have to face your problems alone. Get instant help at MyStressSolution.com.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud, shaping the future. This all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use the superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
No matter what is happening on the outside, to make a difference, work on the inside. You are part of the fabric of life. Have a positive impact on yourself and others. Take a break from the dark side. Listen to the positive side of podcasts. HRNradio.com.
Helping other people heal is deeply satisfying. Watching a child's pain disappear before your eyes, a loved one calming down after a panic attack, or a veteran recovering from PTSD is a wonderful feeling. Imagine yourself with the skills and confidence to help people every single day in a rewarding career in energy healing. Taught by expert faculty, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies. So get certified as an energy psychology professional today at www.newhealer.com. Your first course is free at www.newhealer.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy.
You are muted.
So delighted you're here, and just realize that you can make a huge difference in your future by taking action on some of these practical items right now. So as you're making notes, as you are recording your insights, turn them into an action plan. And then you'll find lots of really practical ideas in Heather Sonderson's book, Reversing Alzheimer's, and you'll wind up having a plan of small things you can do for your health right now. Don't pick big things that are unrealistic. Pick small ones you really will actually do. Someone once asked me, which is the best kind of meditation, Dawson? I said, the best, the very best form of meditation, the very best one is the one you will actually do. So pick stuff you will do and then make your action plan and carry it out. We were just talking during the break about how excited we are that these changes are now on the horizon, and we're seeing these kinds of approaches really gain traction in the medical community with the studies that are being published now. Just cover your study and a few of the other pieces of research that are being published now so people know just how much research there is on this issue.
Yeah, so just a quick timeline. Dr. Bredesen started publishing case series in 2010, I believe, so quite a while ago. And then the way that science works is we need to build on that. We get a few case series, we get case studies, and then we start doing feasibility trials, and then we go in the direction of randomized control trials. So these each build on each other, and they justify the next. And so in 2022, Dr. Kat Toops and Dr. Bredesen's team, they published the first feasibility trial. And what they did was she compared baseline to 9 months later. So it was a 9-month intervention. They took 25 participants and they did Dr. Bredesen's approach for these 25 participants with MoCA scores down to 19. So again, 26 and above is normal, 30 is perfect. They took a cohort of 25 people with MoCA scores down to 19. And they saw that in 9 months, 84% of them improved. That was amazing. This is the first time we could say people with cognitive impairment could expect improvement. A year later, we published the results of the clinical trial that I did in my office, very, very similar trial, although we took only 23 participants instead of 25, and we did a 6-month intervention, a shorter intervention, and it was on patients with more progressed cognitive decline, and we even included people with the diagnosis of Alzheimer's. So we took patients with MoCA scores of 12 to 23. And what we saw after 6 months was that 74% of them improved. We also saw that the mean scores of the MoCA, the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, and the battery of testing, the Cambridge Brain Sciences testing that we did, improved across the mean, statistically significantly improved across the mean in overall composite scores and in memory specifically. We also saw statistically significant increases in quality of life and in sleep scores. And we saw improvements in all of the domains of cognition that we looked at. Not all of them were statistically significant. The overall composite was and the memory was. Now, we were just chatting about in June of this year, of 2024, the first randomized control trial in this area was published by Dr. Dean Ornish. And we were all doing these trials at the same time, and so you'll see in them that COVID threw us all a curveball, and we all had to pause things for a bit, and it took longer than we hoped. But they took two groups, and they had a lifestyle intervention that included supplements, group support, exercise, meditation, and a vegan diet. We tend to use an organic ketogenic diet in Dr. Bredesen's work, but in Dr. Ornish's work, they used a different type of diet, and what they saw was that the control group did not improve, but the lifestyle intervention group did improve their cognitive function over the course of just 5 months, an even quicker trial. And so we see that there are several studies that have been done on patients with cognitive decline showing that a lifestyle intervention indeed can help, not just some of the time, but most of the time. So our confidence is highest when people start this process early, when they aren't severely progressed down the disease path. Now, I have had patients prove me wrong. I have told people there is no hope, and then they show me that they can get better. This has happened more than once, so I have learned the hard way not to tell anyone there isn't hope. But I certainly have more confidence. The earlier we get started, the younger someone is, the earlier it is in the disease process, and the more fully they're willing to grab the bull by the horns and make this happen. And so I urge people, many people I think for a long time thought there was nothing they could do about it. That's why they didn't want to know about their genetics. They didn't want the anxiety associated. But now we know there's so much we can do. It's all a matter of getting started, getting those quick wins, starting to change your lifestyle so that you get the momentum and the dopamine hits of success, and you can keep it going and keep layering on these positive lifestyle interventions so you can keep your brain health, keep those connections, keep the meaningful, joyful, awesome stuff happening through all the decades of your life.
You know, I've been a guest on your summit more than once and also had other contacts with you, and I just testify to your joy and your enthusiasm and your love. It just shines through what you do, and that love for your patients as well. I'd love to know how this work has changed your life in our last few minutes together.
You know, Dustin, I have the privilege of talking to people who are older than me and to download some of their wisdom. I get to ask them, what are your most joyful memories? What are you most proud of? And over again, they tell me about the connections. I have had people tell me about raising their children and how that was the most joyful part of life, and it's inspired me to be more mindful as a parent. I've had people tell me about their friends and how they are growing old, knowing their friends that they've had since childhood and how meaningful those relationships are, their siblings, their partnerships. It's about the connections. That if I've learned anything from the privilege of working with elders, it is that. But it's about the joy of connection. And meditation. And for me, personally, meditation has been my very best medicine. And it's such a joy and a privilege to always talk with you, Dawson, and learn more about meditation from you.
Yeah. Meditation really is remarkable in that when you get into it, you just feel so many benefits to get into it more. I was teaching at Omega Institute last week, and this woman said, oh, I've been doing meditations for 1,000 days straight.
Wow.
That's somebody who's really, really motivated. Thank you so much for your care for people, for your brilliance, for all the insights you bring to this, and your passion for seeing these wonderful techniques make it the medical mainstream. I'm so grateful for your work. And I know together we're going to see a very different future, a different world as we see these gain traction. So every blessing. Thanks again.
Right back at you, Dawson. Be well. Thank you.
And for all of those of you listening, make sure you turn this inspiration into an action plan. Look at your notes and see what you will do. What can you do? What small things can you do? It may not be a week-long meditation retreat. It might just be that 8 minutes a day or a little bit longer. It doesn't have to be anything dramatic. It might be just 5 minutes of gum care and tooth care every day. But make sure you do take action. You are worth it. You are a child of the universe, and you want to have the best possible life you can and the longest possible health span you can possibly attain. So it's been wonderful to share this hour with you. Make sure you join me every single week for more inspiration, more action. And until the next episode of High Energy Health, be healthy, be happy, love yourself to the max.